Last week, La Mirada became the second city in California to ban Segway scooters from its sidewalks. City councilors there are worried that the two-wheeled mechanized scooters are a danger to pedestrians. But for most Americans, Segways are less a danger and more of a mystery. The Segway was unveiled in December 2001. Its inventor, Dean Kamen, promised a transportation revolution. The revolution so far has not arrived. Most Americans have never seen a Segway up close. Gary Rivlin is a contributing editor for Wired magazine. He's in our New York bureau. Good of you to join us today.
Hi, Neil.
Remind us, the Segway, everybody who rides it says it's wondrous, right? How does it work?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on it. It's a pretty cool thing. It's just five gyroscopes that are all connected by a computer, and 100 times a second it rebalances itself. So you just stand. It's like a picture, if you will, one of those old-fashioned push lawnmowers, and you're standing on it. And all you have to do is think moving forward, and it moves forward. And it has a little knob on the side, like a motorcycle, where if you need to turn right, turn left.
Yeah. Now, Dean Kamen, with having invented this wondrous thing, decided he'd be making tens of thousands of these every year. How many is he actually selling?
Tens of thousands every year. Last year, in 2001, he was promising 40,000 a month. I think in its first year on the market, he would have been lucky if he sold a few hundred. It's really been a total bust so far.
Well, he was marketing initially to big companies. You know, the companies that seemed obvious: FedEx, the Post Office.
Well, I mean, he had monumentally bad timing. I mean, this thing came out at the end of 2001 at a time that companies weren't really taking chances on new technologies and all. I mean, they were making cuts. They weren't looking to buy these scooters that they may or may not need at $5,000 to $8,000 a piece. I mean, the Post Office was experimenting with them, and really what they found is you need to recharge them or change the batteries every couple hours, and they're very useful. The carriers tended to like them, except for they couldn't sort the mail in between houses because they're too busy steering it. If it was raining, they couldn't hold an umbrella. So, you know, a really clever, interesting idea, but it just has gotten zero traction so far.
Not quite there. And now they've gone, the emphasis has switched, and they're now being offered on the consumer level, selling them on the web.
Right, which... They said at first they were going to the consumer version was going to cost $3,000 a piece, which is still a lot of money for something you don't necessarily need. But it turned out that the economics didn't work. They'd be losing money at $3,000 a pop, so they're selling them now at $5,000 a piece. And there's a lot of logistical problems with it. There's the battery problem. It weighs 80 pounds, and you need to bring it up and down stairs, and 80 pounds is pretty heavy. And there's also a matter of training. They said they wouldn't sell it to anyone without at least 4 hours of training. I mean, it's easy to use, but you do need to get a lesson and need to, you know, kind of be on training wheels, as it were, before you're ready to really ride on the streets. But if it's sold on the internet, how do you train people?
Good question. Now, Dean Kamen has invented a lot of good stuff that has sold incredibly well. What made him so positive that about the Segway scooter that he didn't license this particular invention? He's making it himself.
Well, you know, there's something incredible about an inventor like Dean Kamen. I mean, he really has created a series of amazing medical breakthroughs. That he, as you say, turned to Johnson & Johnson, Baxter International to go and manufacture. But he was so convinced, or he is so convinced, that, you know, he's going to be selling hundreds of millions of these things in short order, that he decided to do it himself. He also says that who is he going to partner up with? I mean, this is a new invention. There's, you know, nothing really like it. So there was no natural partner. I don't quite believe that. I think he really saw an opportunity to strike it rich.
Well, he's obviously having difficulties. Is the company holding together their initial financing? Are they still going to be in business a year from now?
Well, I mean, it's really hard for a group that hasn't done marketing and production and sales to do that. So, you know, they've had a lot of problems. They've been through three presidents in 3 years. They were without a marketing person when it first came out. So they've really struggled. And the other problem is that they were very optimistic. I mean, Dean Kamen is an optimistic individual. It's probably what allows him to believe he can create all these amazing new inventions. So they decided to open up a huge factory before they had any orders, and it sat idle for a long time. So he burned through a lot of money. He raised like $90 million back in 2000, and they won't share any numbers. It's a privately held company, but talking to people who know the industry, who know his suppliers and such, they say that it's in not too long a time they're going to have to go out and raise more money, but that's going to be hard because people invested initially assuming it was worth hundreds of millions, and who knows what it's worth now.
Well, publicity is not one of their shortcomings. Gary Rivlin, nice piece in the Wired magazine. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Gary Rivlin is a contributing editor for Wired magazine. He was in our bureau in New York. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.